In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you read the stories of the Gospel, brothers and sisters, they are examples about how to live or how to not live. These things that are in the Gospels are included for a specific reason. St. John said, all the things that the Lord said and taught could not be contained in all the books that could be written. So the things that he did say and the experiences that are recorded in the Gospel are very significant because they are a small part of the whole that the Holy Spirit saw fit to record. So when you read a particular story, a vignette, shall we say, look to see what inner thing or things it will be teaching you. It will be different depending on the day, depending on your mood, depending on what your life circumstances are. From year to year, it'll change as you mature in the faith, as you, with God helping you, shouldn't it be the case, get better in the way you live your life. There'll be other layers of meaning of the Gospel that come upon you. This story about the centurion, which we will read tomorrow for Sunday, is such a story that has a deep moral teaching for us that we must not miss. Now, the centurion, he was ostensibly a pagan. Of course, he wasn't really a pagan. He was of a pagan race. He was of the Romans. And he was a centurion, which meant he couldn't openly show his true feelings. But St. Luke tells us that he loved the Jewish people and built them a synagogue. So he was one of the occupying force that actually was treating the Jews as brethren. So he was well loved by the Jewish people. And he had a servant who was sick and paralyzed. And he loved this servant, or actually the word servant, by the way, translated in the scriptures, it's a little sanitized. It's slave. He had a slave that he loved. And we shouldn't be offended by this. We should be slaves of God. And of course, God treats us better than anybody would. But we should be his slaves, willingly. And so he goes to the Lord and he says that his servant lies at home sick, grievously tormented. And Jesus says immediately, I'll come heal him. But the centurion, knowing that a Jew would be ritually defiled if he came to his home, and also feeling the depth of his own unworthiness, said something that we should take great note of. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now he explains why he says this. And we'll get to that in a moment, because that's the second important thing that we should glean. Well, at least there's two things that I want to talk about. There's probably 200 things that are important in this Gospel. But when he says, Lord, I am not worthy, this is how we should approach God in prayer. And if you look at our prayers, that's the way they are. We are constantly speaking of our unworthiness before God. This is not because we have some sort of neurotic complex, but because it's just the truth. But a man who knows his limitations, a man who knows his weakness, he can truly be strong, because then he depends completely on the one that is stronger than him, God. So this is the way we must approach God, with deep humility. And if you look carefully at our prayers, that's what they do. If you want to see examples of how not to approach God, turn on the TV to some station that when I was a kid, the UHF stations. That doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, these talking head preachers, when they make sure that the camera's pointed at them and then they pray, that's how not to pray. Because that's not with humility. That's not with a sense of your depth of your own depravity. The thing about praying with this deep humility is there's a strength in it, and there's a confidence in it that is not present even a person that prays without humility, that you know, thinks, well, I'm redeemed, God will help me, they don't have that depth of confidence that a person who's aware of their sins has. So this is how we should pray, but with confidence. And then he explains why he said this, why he said to the Lord, I'm not worthy, all you need to do is say a word, and my servant will be healed. Of course, that shows his great faith. Why does he have this great faith? Because he's a man who knows how to live. He's a man under authority, he explains to us. He has soldiers and slaves under him. And if he tells a soldier to go, the soldier goes and do this, and he does it. But he also is a man under authority. He has a commander, and he obeys his commander. So the reason why he has this great faith is because he lives in obedience. He lives a good life. Now, we are not very obedient people. We don't like people to tell us what to do. We like to have our way. We don't like it when it's not fair. Well, anyone who's been in the military knows it's all about not being fair. It has nothing to do with being fair. When your commander tells you to do something, you do it, whether it's fair or not. Whether it's intelligent or not, you do what your commander tells you. And so this man learned that. And because of his obedience, he has this great faith. And this is the other thing we need to glean. If you have trouble with your faith, if you pray and feel like your words are bouncing off the walls, or you have little attention in your prayer, or you feel like your circumstances are just too big for you and too much for you, this is because there's something wrong with the way you live your life. Your faith is weak. Well, our faith does not become strong just by God saying, Lord, make my faith strong. And then we go and turn on the TV or entertain ourselves or go about living our life just the way we want to live it. Our faith becomes strong by struggle to obey. And the Lord puts people in our life that we need to obey. The people that we need to obey the most are the ones that are lower than us, beneath our station. And I don't mean obey in terms of they tell you to do something and you do it, but that you recognize that that is your brother who needs your help, your love, your freedom from judgment, and your prayer. And if we live in this way, in a way in which we say, we have to be obedient every time, not just when we want to be, not just when it's easy, but all the time, then great confidence comes from this obedience. There is no substitute for this. Truly, we live in an age that is diabolical in all of the temptations that it has to keep us from learning these truths. And I don't mean just in terms of our political age, which is now becoming, you know, more or less like pagan Rome again. I don't mean that kind of politics and morality. But we have more ease, more rest than any person ever in the history of mankind. And so we can fill our life with things that just pleasure us and waste our time and debase us and weaken us. And this is why we have poor faith. Which one of us in this room would raise our hand if asked, do you have strong faith? All of our faith is weak. We go through all kinds of problems. We're not like the centurion. Let's be like him. Let's take his example. Let's beg the Lord to help us. Let's master the ability to truly tell the Lord we're not worthy. Not just with our lips, but with the depth of our being. And the more you feel your unworthiness, the stronger you will feel. You know, it's just a movie, but there's a wonderful movie. That's just superb. I thought about it for weeks after watching it. That's called, Ostrog, the Island? I think that's right. And hero of the movie, if you want to say such. Some man who thought he'd killed somebody. Turned out he hadn't, but for years he thought he had. And so he was filled with grief and filled with a deep, deep self-abasing humility. And yet, when someone was brought to him that needed healing and they were suffering greatly, he, with great confidence, called out to the Lord, and the person was healed. There were a couple instances like that. Why did he have this confidence? Because he thought nothing of himself. Our society tells us to think everything of ourselves. We're all little Caesars, little princes and princesses, and emperors and empresses. That's why we have weak faith. So may God help you. May God help me. Let's be like the centurion, huh? Let's pray with humility, but then let's apply this humility to the way we live in everything we do. If you do this, your life will become very peaceful. Oh, I don't mean it'll be easy, because if you live in a humble way, people will walk all over you and cheat you and other such things. But your heart will be clean and at peace. And then when you ask the Lord for something that really matters to you, you'll ask with confidence, knowing that the Lord will hear you. I can't say that I've approached this yet. I know it exists. I see it in the Gospels all the time, in the lives of the fathers. This is what we are to aim for. And this is how we're to get there. Not just by saying we're unworthy, but by living like we're unworthy. And by being obedient. And then we'll have this confidence that the centurion had and his deep faith. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.